A number of things happen after a birth, don't they? Rebecca and Simon are still waiting, and Ian and Carleen are already aware of what goes on when a little one is born. Immediately after the birth, doctors weigh and measure and check and test. Within 72 hours, a health visitor will call if you're at home, and your baby will have a new baby health check. According to one website, the doctor or midwife will check your baby's overall top-to-toe health, eyes, ears, nose and mouth, heart and breathing, hips, and if relevant, boy bits. Physical health then. But there are other things too that are important at a birth. Family often visit, don't they? And if they don't come to you, often you take the little one to see them. There's a name to be chosen. And some people go in for wetting the baby's head, which began as a need for the baby to be baptized very quickly in case he didn't make it, which is sadly pointless because getting baptized doesn't guarantee entry into glory. But of course, these days it means something completely different, going out and having a little too much to drink, which is even more pointless. Although I suppose with a first baby, fellas, you might avoid learning to change nappies for an extra few days. But when the Duchess and Duke of Cambridge, I've got that back to front, haven't I? You normally say Duke and Duchess, don't you? When the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge have their baby, the birth will be followed by the giving of a title. Although no longer will the Home Secretary be hanging around at the birth, as used to happen. At least they will be spared a politician at the birth. That has to be a terrible thing. I'll spare you the jokes that I could make about that as well this morning. Well, let's take a brief look at the happenings around the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago and see what they tell us and inform us about him. We're looking in the account in Matthew's Gospel, and we're focusing on the wise men and on Herod. That's not to ignore the shepherds or the angels or Simeon or Anna, but just to choose to learn from Herod and the wise men this morning. So what do we learn? Well, the magi or wise men are obviously convinced this baby is significant. They've travelled potentially for 2 years to get there. That's in verse 16, if you have your Bible open. They've searched long and hard. Herod, when he hears about the baby, is in fear, we read in verse 3, for his political position. And the Magi, when they meet the baby, bring out some of the most amazing gifts. We have them here in front of us. The children have shown us and reminded us. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then they leave by a different route after what must have been a very significant dream. I don't know about you, but a dream that got me to change my Christmas plans would be quite a dream, wouldn't it, for you? A significant dream. The happenings around the birth of this baby are momentous, aren't they? Everything goes to suggest a significant birth. But in what way? What does it all mean? Well, Matthew draws one point out above all else. The Magi say it in verse 2. Herod feared for his in verse 3. The prophet had predicted it, we read, in verse 6. What is the key theme in all of these three verses, all of these three points? I'm going to give you a chance to speak up. You haven't laughed at my jokes yet, but your chance is to answer. What's the key theme across these three points that Matthew draws out? Come on, young people on the back row. One key theme. Two words. No? No? Although he is what we're looking for, the theme is that he is the king. Where is he who has been born king? Herod, the current king, fears for his position. And the prophet says, you'll be a ruler. Well, what is the king if he is not a ruler? Jesus is king. Mel, you're right to remind us it's Jesus. And that is where we come to next. This baby Jesus is born to rule. not constitutionally over our nation and commonwealth, as William and Kate's baby will be, not these things. This baby Jesus is born to rule God's people, who were at the time of the prophet called Israel, who 2,000 years ago were that geographical group of people ruled by Herod. But you know, that geographical and that biological group of people are not, and indeed never have been, the totality, the entirety of God's people. God's people has always been more than that. The kingdom that Jesus came to rule, as he explained to Pilate at his trial, is not of this world. He came from glory, and he comes to rule a glorious kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is so much more than flesh and blood, and indeed 8,000 square miles of earth, which is what Israel amounts to today. Indeed, Jesus' kingdom can include you, and it does include me. And I really desperately hope that you haven't missed this fact this Christmas, like our fourth wise man. Have you missed the fact that Jesus is king and that he wants to rule in your life? Let's be honest. How many of our births were marked by a star or some other significant astronomical happening? I'm pretty certain that mine wasn't, unless they perhaps discovered a new black hole at the same time. I don't even think Prince, whatever his name may be, will have this honour. The star in the sky speaks of creation acknowledging its creator. Even over creation, Jesus Christ is king. And if you look with me at verse 2, the Magi say, where is he born king? Not where is he born to be king in the future. You see, the Bible is correct in every jot and tittle. Every last word is the word our God wants us to read. And this babe did not arrive and have to grow up and wait for his predecessors to die, or even worse, bump them out the way himself. At the moment of his birth, Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Jesus was and is so much more than just any other human baby. He is that. But Matthew has shown in chapter 1 that Jesus is God himself, as well as being the right and proper legal successor to Abraham and David. That's all why it has to be a virgin birth. And the Magi understood this. And Herod fears this son of the promise of God, who is indeed God himself, Jesus the King. This then is the big question of Christmas. Will you recognize Jesus for who he is? That's the only question that matters. Everything else pales into indeed utter insignificance. Every person and every present may as well be on the moon this Christmas if you don't ask yourself this question, if you don't get to grips with this question. Jesus is king. Is he king in your life? I wouldn't want you to miss this. Jesus, this little babe, is born king of the Jews, not born to be one day king of the Jews, but born arriving on the scene, all bloody and cold at that moment he arrived. We don't think of it like that, but even at that moment, he is still king, king of creation, king of his kingdom, king of God's kingdom, king of my life. Is he king of your life, or have you missed it? How can this be? Let me go back to the beginning and explain it very simply to you. I don't want to miss it. God is the proper and loving king of everything because he has made everything. Step aside from debates over evolution and creation. Beyond that, it was created. It had to have a cause. There had to be something brought all this into being. That's what we call God. That's how we define our first thought about God. Now, God has showed himself to us. If he hadn't, we'd still be hunting around in the dark. But God is light, and he has revealed himself to us. He intended for us to live in the light. He's a good God. The world he made is very good. The sort of king that he is the best sort of king. The most wonderful indeed. Sadly, I don't know about you, but I suspect you're just a bit like me. Not at all as bad as me by any means, but you don't like being told what to do, do you? I don't, and I'm sure that a little part of you doesn't like being told what to do. Let's be honest. How many of you had not had one single thought about what someone else might or might not get you for Christmas this year? You have, haven't you? I know you have. We all do. But what business is it of yours? And what business is it of mine? It's up to them to choose to give a gift, or for that matter, not to give a gift. And it's up to them to choose what to give and when you're going to get it. Oh, I know it's tradition on Christmas Day. But we want to know, don't we? We want to influence the choice of that gift. We want to choose, or we want them to choose, the blue one. Or the smelly one, or the right smell. Or the biggest one, whatever it may be. Well, look, that's the same thing in the wider sphere. We take the crown off God's head and we put it on our own. And quite frankly, we make a mess when we do. I haven't even got to Christmas yet, and I'm beginning to wonder if some of the things I said about a month ago will come back to haunt me. What will I say on Christmas Day when I open that thing and it's what they thought I said I wanted? We make a right mess, don't we? It's not just presents. We hurt one another. It seems that the more power and influence over other people we have, the more harm and hurt we seem to do. Isn't it that the way it is? Well, when we disobey God and cause that hurt, the Bible says we're sinning. And that sin causes lots and lots of problems. And that sin is simply taking the crown off God's head and trying to wear it myself. Well, what can we do about it? Tragically, man has tried many, many things and nothing works. Nothing works. But God says he's going to do something about it. That's what he says. He won't tolerate sin. He won't let people carry on saying no to him and going their own way and trying to wear the crown themselves. So he sets out that if we carry on in our sin, then we won't be a part of his kingdom. The kingdom that he is restoring, the kingdom that he is making new. We will miss out. Just like that fourth wise man. We'll miss the boat. We'll be shut out of his kingdom. It's not wrong. God is rightly and properly angry that we don't obey him. And he's angry with the hurt and the harm that we cause others when we sin against him. So he won't let us keep on saying no and playing at being our own king. One day he will reveal that he is the only king. And he will finish remaking his kingdom. He said all things will be made new. But he won't allow sin and the grief that follows to be in that kingdom or to mar that wonderful kingdom. Those people who want to sin will miss out. Sadly, of course, that's all of us if we don't turn to Jesus, the King, because nothing we try as human beings is good enough. So how can we get back in? Now that's the good news of Christmas. Because God loves us and wants us to be in the kingdom. Remember, he's a good God. He's the great King. Because he loves us and wants us, he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. And he arrived as the king. And he arrived to take the punishment that we deserve for our sin. When Jesus the king was born as the baby, he came in order to die. That's why the gift of myrrh was brought. Indeed, that's part of the meaning of frankincense too. Frankincense was the incense offered on the Old Testament altar, the place where God met with man and sacrifice was made. So that it could happen. Even frankincense itself, which is a fragrant offering to God, is indicative of the fact that Jesus Christ will one day be himself the most sublime, the most wonderful, indeed the perfect offering to God. And Jesus Christ did die. He was punished by God and died on a cross that first Easter time. And because when he died, he was punished for my sin, I can be forgiven. And welcomed into the kingdom. And you can too. You don't need to miss out. Do you know there's even more good news? It would be really sad if baby Jesus was only born in order to die, wouldn't it? And sadly today many people think of you and me like that. We're born, we hang around for a while, and then we die, and that's it. Well, yes, it's true when people die we don't see them anymore in this life. But Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. And you're not going to stay dead. God raised him back to life again. And invested him publicly with the kingship of everything. Jesus is God's king. He's alive, and one day he will return. And on that day, he will punish all those who are still saying no to God, who are still sinning, and he will welcome all those who believe and trust in him, who have been forgiven, into his kingdom. So finally, what about you? Are you going to miss out this Christmas? Or have you got this sorted now? Jesus is king. You see, there are two and only two ways to live. It's impossible to sit on the fence on this one. You can't. It's decision time. You have to choose. Who's going to be king in your life? Choice one, not recommended by me, and certainly not recommended by God. Keep saying no to God. Keep trying to wear the crown on your head, but it is a pretense, let's be honest. However hard you try, it keeps slipping off and falling down around your feet. And in the dark down there, it's a struggle to find it and pick it back up again, and it gets so mucky, you'll eventually lose it down there in the darkness. You'll miss out. And eventually God will have no choice but to say, you've asked to be your own king for so long, I'll let you have it. You'll be shut out. You'll miss out on God's glorious kingdom. The Bible has a shorthand for that too. It's called hell. Whatever your picture of hell, it's worse. You don't want to go there. You really don't want to miss out. But there's another choice, a great choice, a wonderful choice, to believe in Jesus Christ as a king. That baby born at Christmas 2,000 years ago. Choice two is to stop saying no to God and to admit that you've been saying no to God and declare that you don't want to say no to God anymore. It's that simple. I'm not going to say no, God. I'm going to say yes. I'm sorry I have done. I'm stopping now and I want to say yes in the future. I want to trust in your Son as my Saviour and as my Lord. Jesus is the rightful king. Now that's what Matthew has told us. That's what they believed there and then when he was born. It's what the wise men travelled 2 years to find out, to prove. That's what Mary was convinced about. It was what Herod was convinced about. Herod was a nasty piece of work, but he was also a very clever and savvy politician. He wouldn't have done what he did if he didn't believe there was a real threat to his power. That's what creation believed. Here's the star. Jesus is king. So who will be your king? Jesus Christ was born king of God's people 2,000 years ago. And even now he is on the throne of glory. Even now he is waiting for his Father to say it's time to go and claim the kingdom, that kingdom of people. Even now he is waiting to be on the throne of your life if you will let him. He is the one who can live in your heart. He is the one who can be your king. Don't miss out this Christmas. I wonder if he isn't the king in your life this Christmas. You'd like today to make that change. Three things we need to say. Three things that match which I just said a moment ago. You need to say sorry to God for not treating him as king. You need to say thank you to God for sending Jesus to die. And you need to say, please, God, forgive me. And will you help me to live with Jesus as my king for the rest of my life? Now, here's a prayer. And in a minute, I'm going to pray it. And if you'd like to pray it with me, you're very welcome to do that. The only thing I ask is that you come and tell me that you've prayed that prayer afterwards this morning so that I can help you go on after today. Because God doesn't leave us on our own to do that. He puts us in churches to help one another. That prayer says this: Dear God, I'm sorry I haven't treated you as my king. I'm sorry I've said no to you by not doing what you say. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to take away my punishment. Please forgive me and help me to live with Jesus as my king from now on. Amen. It's a simple prayer, but it's a life-changing prayer. It's a prayer because when we pray, we talk to God. It's a prayer that will change you from having yourself on the throne with that slippy sloppy crown that lands up in the darkness which you can't find to having Jesus as king of your life. Now we're going to pray, and I just ask you if you would like to pray, say these words in your heart or say them out loud. And if you don't want to pray, then please just look down so that we don't distract everybody else. Dear God, I'm sorry that I haven't treated you as my king. I'm sorry that I've said no to you by not doing what you say. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to take away my punishment. Please forgive me. And help me to live with Jesus as my King from now on. Amen.